Thank you, Richard. An absolute privilege to be here this afternoon, an absolute honour to come and spend some time with King's Church, past, present and indeed future. This is such an opportunity, isn't it, to acknowledge, first and foremost, the faithfulness of God. Isn't he faithful? Isn't he wonderful? So it's great to be able to do that. It's also great to be able to acknowledge the faithfulness of God's servants, the people who have committed themselves to King's Church in all its previous incarnations, serving God's kingdom, serving God's purposes faithfully for 100 years now. And it is an opportunity to look forward and think about the future and how King's Church presses on in its commission to be salt and light to this community. So that's fantastic. And I just in hearing the testimonies that have been shared, God is good, isn't he? God is good. He's also wise, isn't he? Can we have a big amen to that? God is wise, yeah? In fact, I mean, we're not just talking about wise. We're talking brilliantly wise, I think. God sees things from a completely different perspective to us, doesn't he? Just when we think we've got it and we understand what God sees, we discover, actually, it's completely different. And on there, we got a verse from Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I think we should always say that to ourselves first thing in the morning. And just gain that perspective. I love the way the New Living Translation puts that verse. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could possibly imagine. Isn't that brilliant? I love that. I love that about God. His ways are far greater than anything that we can imagine, which means that when we see success, that's only half of it. God would say to us, you call that success? You wait till you see it from my perspective, then you'll see success. And when we see failure, he says, just you wait. You'll see how I can turn that all around. God's ways are higher than our ways. Now, when I was asked to come and share a few words a few months ago, this is now, I couldn't wait to come and speak to you today. On a personal level, you know, I know many King's Church folk as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And also, coming from Addlestone Baptist Church, there is that historical connection between our two fellowships. It was great to hear again the story of how Mr. Williams stumbled across these youths in the town and felt the urge to go and challenge them as to why they're not in church, and this response about not having the right clothes. Clearly, they didn't have the right floral shirts to come to church, and that had to be addressed. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? It's a beautiful story of what it is to be missional, to have mission at the forefront of our thinking. Now, I decided I would like to do a little bit of research into the story. We have a shared history, the Baptist Church and King's Church. And I thought it would be lovely if I could find the cupboard in our building that contains the archive. I mean, that was a mission in itself. But we must have an archive somewhere. And in the archive, when I found it, there were books galore. And I waded through and I found this. These are the minutes of the church meetings dating back to 1871. Yeah. I was a little bit frightened about opening them, but most of the pages stayed in. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could find the actual church meetings where it was discussed about how to reach out to these youths in the town, and wouldn't that be great to read about the church meeting where they set apart Mr. Williams and they laid hands on Mr. Williams and they sent him out with the blessing of the church? Anyway, I managed to find in the papers the period that covers sort of 1914 to 1918, that sort of bit. And we suddenly discover all these references to Mr. A. Williams. It turns out that for a time he was the church secretary at the Baptist Church. He was also the organist. And pretty much anything that was ever either proposed or seconded or amended had Mr. Williams' name attached to it. He was by far the most vocal of all church members that you're ever likely to meet. And so I looked through all these meetings. It was absolutely fascinating. I didn't think I'd get so inspired by church meeting papers, but there you go. They used to write them well in those days. And the first bit of interest, if we can have the first bit up here. Okay, so this is from September 1914. Mr. A. Williams inquired as to the special mission for young people. Mr. Pollard replied that he was hoping to hold the same in November. This was the first reference I could find to any ministry to youth in the town. This sort of throwaway inquiry at the end, the minute's pretty much finished there. It was all wrapped up, any other business, and that was it. This is the only reference I could find to this mission to the young people. Clearly, though, if you read through the minutes, you discover Mr. Williams had a real passion for young people. He was involved in the Sunday school, he was involved in the youth of the church, all those sort of things. Now, unfortunately, that's the last reference we have to the mission to the young people in the town. But actually, if you read the minutes, you kind of get a sense of why, because war breaks out. And for 3 years, what dominates those minutes is references to these particular people, these particular deacons who have been called up and are now serving in the trenches, and how's the church going to fill the volunteer gap that's created by all these people going off to war? I mean, it's really quite heart-wrenching stuff. But it's like this mission to youth drops off the horizon. But something else crops up. Another mission opportunity in 1917. If you can put up the next slide. It says here, Mr. Back then raised the question as to whether the church could not do something for the convalescent soldiers at the Ottermead Hospital. And it was proposed that the schoolroom, that's the Sunday school room at the Baptist Church, should be opened every Wednesday afternoon, and that a cup of tea be provided by voluntary contributions, and that papers and light literature be supplied for their rest and entertainment. Mr. Pollard was asked to make arrangements with the matron of the hospital. A mission opportunity emerges. There's these people that need support. And a subsequent meeting firms up those plans. And indeed, from December the 13th, 1917, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. every Wednesday, the Sunday school room was opened up, and there's a little note in one of the church meetings that says, writing materials, illustrated papers and games, etc. will be provided, smoking allowed. The mission to these particular people had begun, to these soldiers, these convalescing soldiers. But things never run smoothly, do they? Our best laid plans sometimes meet one or two hiccups. And so we arrive 3 months down the line since this mission opportunity was launched. March the 6th, 1918, it's the church AGM. And after the opening pleasantries, the following was recorded. Bear with me. It gets exciting. In accordance with a notice previously given, Mr. Albert Williams made a protest against the practice of card playing at the Soldiers' Welcome, that's the Wednesday afternoon things, and the recent whist drive held in connection with the same. An animated discussion followed. We all know what they're like. An animated discussion followed in which Mr. Williams and others supported the protest, and Mr. Cook and others defended the practice complained of, as did also our pastor. Miss Steer then moved the following resolution with the request that it be recorded in the minutes of the meeting, v. that this sacred building shall not be used again for card playing of any kind. And this was seconded by Miss White.
On our pastor asking if there are any amendments, Mr. Wells moved and Mrs. Sinclair seconded that card playing be allowed to continue, but that whist drives be dropped. On a show of hands, the amendment was carried, the number voting against it being 10, whereupon Mr. A. Williams requested that his name and that of Mrs. Williams be removed from the church roll and retired from the meeting. I know, it's incendiary stuff, isn't it? And my friends, this appears to be the very last mention of Mr. A. Williams in the history of Addison Baptist Church. He walks out of the meeting and goes off and does something else. And I think it's safe to presume that off the back of this meeting in 1918, this was the point where Mr. Williams said to himself, I know what I'm going to do. I know where I need to be. And out of that emerges what is now King's Church. It's amazing, huh? I couldn't believe it when I was reading through this. I was thinking, oh, this is such good stuff. And I've just got some reflections to make, if you'll permit me. I know I've probably gone over my time already, but just having discovered that backstory and thinking about that and all that that means, I've just got some reflections that I want to bring. I find myself asking, what would have happened if that argument hadn't happened? Would those youths ever have got reached? Because it does seem to me, if you read between the lines, that mission to the youth had sort of begun to be forgotten in amongst the chaos of World War I and all the problems that the church faced in managing that time. It drops off the agenda. And if Mr. Williams hadn't walked out at that point, would those children have ever been catered for? It's really interesting, isn't it, that just in that brief moment, we get a picture of how God can use all circumstances to fulfill his purposes. You know, sometimes we have to be thrust out into the mission field, perhaps even against our own will, for us to actually begin to step out in faith and do something bold and courageous for God. It reminds me of the Paul and Barnabas situation in Acts chapter 15. You know, Paul and Barnabas are there, and they have a disagreement over John Mark, essentially over the shape of mission, what the mission team was going to look like. They have this falling out, and they can't resolve it, and so they go their separate ways. And what happens? The missionary net is flung further and wider. And while we don't have any reference, really, to Paul and Barnabas ever reconciling, we do get from Paul's letters that he still regarded Barnabas as a well-respected brother in Christ. He still valued him. Even though they disagreed on how something should have happened, they still valued each other as brothers united in Jesus. And I think that's what I find so encouraging about this history that Kings and ABC have together. It's not just that they disagreed and good came out of it. What I find most encouraging about this is that they disagreed about something that really mattered, which was how do we show the love of God to the community? And they wrestled with that really difficult tension that every church has to wrestle with in terms of how do we minister to the world without being of the world? Where do we draw the line here? How do we minister to the community without just conforming to being like the community? How do we be relevant to the people around us and yet remain distinctive? And these are huge issues. These are big questions to ask ourselves today. What I love about this story is this wasn't a falling out over what colour to paint the toilets. And there's plenty of churches that would have fallen out over that. This was how we reach people with the love of God while still representing the holiness of God. Brilliant. And if there was one thing I was to give to you as a church, is to give you that question. And actually, it's the question that you have always been asking. And hearing what we've heard already today, it is the question that has constantly been asked. How do we reach out to the lost with the love
of Jesus. And if you start every single church meeting you ever have with that question at the forefront, I don't think you're going to go too far wrong. An amazing history that has given birth to an amazing church. And my final thought in all this is, as I was preparing all this and actually considering the way Mr. Williams must have felt like he was going it alone, that actually, I believe I received a picture from the Lord to commend to you. And it's a picture of a fishing boat, a trawler. But it's no ordinary trawler. It's actually a trawler pair. Got a picture up here of a couple of trawlers there. And I don't know whether you know about trawler pairs. It's a particular way of fishing. It looks there on the surface of the water, like here are these two lone boats doing their own thing, spreading their nets and, you know, battling over water. If we could look under the water, if we can have the next picture, this is what they're actually doing. Between the two of them, they are dragging a net that is far and wide. And what I want to say to you, King's Church, is that you're not a lone trawler plowing a lonely furrow. You're not at all. That actually, I think, ABC and King's are a pair of trawlers working together, spreading the net further and wider. And actually, we're more than that. With St. Paul's represented here and the best wishes and blessings from the other churches, I think we're a fleet of trawlers working together, pulling together in the same direction, reaping the benefits. And I do believe that we are in a new season. Just in these last few months, really, we've started to do things together as churches in a way that we hadn't before. We had the Being Big Church event and harvest services together and all these things. It just feels like God is saying to the churches in the town, you are one church. You are not alone, but we're all pulling together. And so I want to say to you, on behalf of Addlestone Baptist Church, and I believe on behalf of the other churches in town, King's Church, we are here for you. We are here for you. King's Church, we love you. We value you. We honor you. And King's Church, we celebrate with you today. If I could steal Paul's opening words to the church in Philippi, I think as churches in the town, this is what we would say to you, King's Church. We thank our God every time we remember you. In all our prayers for all of you, we pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day, 100 years ago, until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. King's Church, bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've got one more picture to share. I've got a couple of things, actually. There's a couple of things that I want to give to you, if that's okay. The first is this. These are those excerpts from the church meeting. If I can give those to you. That's your history as much as it is ours. And I also, in my digging around in the archive, I found this picture, which I've got here. We can put that up. So this was a photo of some sort of Sunday school event. It was made into a postcard, and the postcard has a 1913 postmark on it. So it's fair to say that it's probably around 1910, 1911, 1912, sometime around there. The guy in the top hat there is the Reverend Pollard. That's what the ministers used to wear. I was thinking, actually, we could bring that back. I quite fancy that.
Culturally relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. We get noticed. But interestingly enough, I just wonder, maybe it's the romantic in me, but I just wonder, the guy behind, given that Mr. Williams was always hanging around the Sunday school,
The guy behind with his hand on his hip, could it just be Mr. Albert Williams? We may never know, but I want to give you that photo as well. God bless you all.